I remember hearing this stat a few weeks ago, and I just looked it up because I think it's pretty mind-boggling. It's something people don't think. People think about the flu, hey, I can get treated, and there's not going to be any issues. But in 2017, an estimated 80,000 Americans died of influenza and its complications. Highest death toll from the flu in the last four decades.
That's, I mean, that shows, like, the flu's getting stronger. It's becoming more resistant. It's getting craftier, if you will.
Right.
And it's not always exactly the flu itself, but like they said, it's also the complications that result from the flu.
Yeah.
That it can trigger certain symptoms in your body that can get exacerbated to the point that they are life-threatening.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys tuning in each week and listening to the health advice we have to, I guess not just advice, information that we like to distribute to you guys.
So valuable information.
Mm-hmm. If you enjoy listening, let us know. Give us that rating review in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or your preferred podcast app. We really appreciate it. And speaking of reviews, we have a brand new review to share with you guys and listeners talk back. Beep 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 beep.
It sounds like the
ninja song.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No, I was gonna say like the Street Fighter, like.
Okay.
The one that plays right before they start fighting.
Okay.
I don't know if that was your intention, but...
That was not my intention. Okay. But all right, let's roll with it.
Let's do this.
All right, so our newest review comes from Brooke Craven, and it says, Nicholas and Shannon, hosts of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, highlight all aspects of fitness, nutrition, and more on this can't-miss podcast.
Oh, can't-miss.
The host and expert guests offer insightful advice and information that is helpful to anyone that listens. Exclamation point.
Aw, thanks, Brooke.
Yes, so thank you very much, Brooke. You guys can leave similar ones. Make sure, as I said, five stars only. Five stars only. Thank you very much. So, but anyways.
He's joking.
Any comments you guys leave, maybe on our Facebook page or on Instagram, we will definitely share them with you in the Listener's Talk Back section.
And if it's possible, maybe let us know which episode you listened to recently or maybe piqued your interest. We always like hearing specific feedback about the topics that are most important to you. Mm-hmm. So obviously we can talk about health and fitness and wellness all day,
right.
But we want to make sure that we're delivering things that you are finding valuable. So please let us know specific feedback on those topics
too. Yeah, and I think the topic we're going to go over mostly in this week's episode is definitely going to be timely and
extremely timely.
So first, training recap. Guys, give you a little update on our ETT challenge. I introduced that to you guys a few episodes ago. We are now into the third week of the challenge. So far, we've got the other ones we've announced actually a couple weeks ago was no more alcohol till Thanksgiving. Second challenge was food journal until Thanksgiving, which I've done a pretty good job. I haven't got every single day, which obviously is a challenge in itself, but I've definitely put in some streaks using the Lose It app, which we love, love, love. And then the third, the newest one, is no sweets after 8 p.m. And what do you think I mean by when I say sweets?
I mean, I think you mean like desserts.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Pretty much.
I think the regular offenders that used to be very popular around our house would be like chocolate bars. Mm-hmm. We don't usually have a ton of like sweets around. Unless one of us is stockpiling them secretly.
Our Halloween candy got out quick, which is good.
Yeah, I brought that to work.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie, I picked out most of the Twix before I put it in our kitchen at the work office.
I'm glad you just did that because I know I I found myself just sitting there and just like, after, I think it was Halloween night, I'm pretty sure. And
yeah,
luckily it was gone the next day.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate you doing that.
I was super sick. If anybody's curious as to why we had a kind of a old flashback episode last week, the whole family was sick.
Yeah.
And I was very sick starting Halloween. Great timing. Mm-hmm. And I had some kind of stomach bug. And I did not touch the chocolate and candy on Halloween because it made me nauseous just looking at it. But mm-hmm. I remember you very pointedly saying, "Oh God, we need to get rid of that stuff." Like,
no.
The same day you brought it home, you were like, "I need to get rid of it."
Yeah. I mean, it's. I debated even buying it because, I mean, literally, we gave it out to the kids, our next door neighbor.
It was like four or five kids that got candy from us.
Honestly, we could have bought them individual, like, candy bars and just gave it to them.
I kind of feel like that's the way to go in the future.
Yeah.
Just buy, like, a handful of full-size candy bars, and then they will love you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't end up with leftover candy.
I bought $10 worth of candy and maybe gave away 67 cents of it.
Yeah.
Well, you gave out the rest of it away.
The people at my work devoured it because I don't even know where it went. It's just gone.
Yep, that's good. Out of sight, out of mind. So that was kind of my training recap. Besides that, I've been nursing a leg injury. But, you know, still churning right along with workouts, everything, especially at Tampa Strength, is going great. People are starting to... Seems to, we're getting more calls and things like that right before as we go into the holidays, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
People aren't waiting to New Year's to really start their fitness program, which is a good,
excellent
thing. I am a big supporter of that. So, one thing I know about your training recap, we actually just put on our stories today.
I know. Yeah, well, I think we talked about it last time, that our Peloton subscription, for anybody who is familiar with the Peloton, you already know this. For anyone who's new, the Peloton is a stationary bike, but the important thing about it is that it's actually connected to like a big like tablet, and it allows you to take classes virtually, but you can participate in live classes as well as pre-recorded, and you pay a subscription for the actual like classes. But you own the bike.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped paying. We just put like a hold on our account for, it took like a 3-month break. And it just came back. It took me, because I got sick, it took me a little longer than I wanted to. But I finally got back on that bike.
Yeah.
And it felt so good. Mm-hmm. I did a Cody Rigsby class. It was like a 20-minute class, not even anything in like crazy intense, and that kicked my ass for sure.
Shout out to Cody.
Oh yeah,
good man.
He really brought the like 90s diva, pop diva music, and just yeah, he kept me working that whole time.
I believe there is
Madonna,
a Yacht Rock
Whitney
ride.
Houston.
Is there a Yacht Rock ride? For some
there's
reason, I thought.
There's several.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got to get on that.
Yeah,
especially
there's some.
On Friday, because Yacht Rock Friday. That's
there's some excellent ones on there. One of my other favorite instructors, Hannah, does a lot of the like music themed ones.
Okay.
Cody does a lot of like. He likes his ladies. He likes the queens of pop and stuff like that. You know,
gotcha.
He's done several Britney rides, which were really good.
Cool.
I enjoy them, yes. And
what am I saying? I just said I want to do a yacht rock.
I know.
So
I'm like, how is that
cool
that different?
I
mean,
yeah.
Britney is freaking great to work out to.
Anyways.
Exactly.
But yeah, we're definitely, I'm saying we got to do another on bike kind of podcast. So
yeah.
You guys expect that soon. We'll be coming, we'll do a record your next ride. And
yeah.
It's kind of a play by play.
We'll highlight some of the newer things and features of Peloton to kind of get people caught up and share kind of what we're liking these days.
Yep. Perfect. All right. So we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier about the topic that we're going to talk about today. Like you said, very timely. Really, we're kind of talking about several different stories about how to prevent yourself or to maybe avoid.
It's around the flu.
Yeah.
We're talking cold about the flu today.
Yeah, because we're heading into cold and flu season, and we're definitely want to try to give people tips on how we can avoid being stricken with both of those afflictions. So the first article that I thought was pretty interesting, it's more broad. Yes, it goes into the flu, but it's kind of interesting to talk about because you found an article on the MindBodyGreen site that talked about the overprescription of antibiotics, yes. Which I think is very interesting. Because
this is reality. Obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I was probably guilty of this at a certain time about, you know, I just wanted people to give me, the doctors to give me medication when I used to go on a regular basis. And a new study was done and released by the Journal of American Medical Association and found that people are most satisfied with their visit to the doctor if the doctor prescribes them an antibiotic. Patient satisfaction ratings showed that 72% of patients gave 5-star ratings after a visit when not given prescription, and 90% of patients gave 5 stars when provided with an antibiotic prescription.
So basically, people are conditioned to think that unless they walk away from the doctor with a prescription for an antibiotic, it's not as good of a visit.
Right.
So,
and then
that's the key to success. And I think a lot of doctors, because they're kind of rewarded, let's be honest, for pushing the pills, prescribe this stuff like it's candy.
Yeah, and not even, like you said, pushing the pills, but they want repeat customers, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, so being not saying they're unethical, but it's hard, especially nowadays out there for doctors, you know. It's to keep, maintain a practice, you have to have a lot of turnover and you have to make sure people keep coming back. So you essentially, I guess, appease them with giving them the antibiotic. And if you guys have been paying attention to our podcast and probably a lot of other stories about just the fact that now a lot of viral strains and bacterial infections are becoming antibiotic resistant. Mm-hmm. So these overprescription can be leading to more harm to good, leading more sickness because the bacterial infections, which is what antibiotics treats, not viral infections, which this article points out, they are essentially becoming resistant because they keep getting inundated with these antibiotics and they're able to adapt and become resistant to it. So that's why a lot of illnesses and sicknesses and things like MRSA, which is a staph infection that's resistant to antibiotics, have become more prevalent nowadays.
That's crazy, super right? Super cheerful and really great to think about, especially when you have a child.
Yes. In fact, a 2016 article in the Journal of American Medical Association reported that 30% of antibiotic prescriptions are uncalled for. The majority of these prescriptions were given for colds, sore throats, and the flu, which are common viral infections that cannot be helped by antibiotics.
Yes.
So, now we're getting into the topic of the flu, which is terrible, sucks, and nobody, I don't wish that on my worst enemy.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's, I think the tricky thing is that in large part, you use antibiotics for infections, for bacteria infections specifically. Mm-hmm. Yep. So let's just do a quick recap on the fact that a lot of what we catch are viral. There are a lot of viruses. They're not bacteria-based infections. I mean, I know that there are a number of them. I mean, like when you get a sinus infection, that is something you have to take antibiotics if you know, for quick relief. That's the fastest way to do that. But a lot of what we get are viral, I feel like these days, in terms of what's passed around really quickly. And the ones that really kind of knock us on our butts are usually the viral ones.
Yeah.
right?
I don't know about statistics, but I mean, like I said, cold viruses that go around. I mean, we learned that now since having Elle in school.
Oh my gosh,
I mean, that there's so many. I remember reading one of the parenting books or baby books talking about how there's 100 strains of the cold viruses out there, and you know. You basically, they got to go through each one. Luckily, they're immune to it after that. I don't know if it means we're getting introduced to them again later in life, but yeah. Still, there's hundreds out there that they're essentially dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why your child's always sick, because they're running into these viruses. Mm-hmm. And each one, even though they all may manifest with very similar symptoms, are slightly different.
Right.
And so just like these are the kinds of things that might skip over us when we're first exposed to them. However, when you're inundated with these kind of ongoing, even stronger immune systems like ours are susceptible to them.
Yep.
And I think one of the big things that we wanted to focus on for this particular podcast was really how to avoid the colds and flus, because we know that, you know, when you're stuck in an office building or you're stuck in a classroom or you're in the same house with somebody who has a cold or flu, like, what do you do?
Right.
How do you protect yourself, or how do you coach your loved ones to protect themselves?
Right. And I mean, I think the number one thing we've seen from a couple different articles we looked at that they suggest, which is probably not the most popular with some people, is get the flu vaccine.
Right.
So, you know, I know we've been doing it the last couple of years, you know, because of Ella.
I have to go and get mine.
So, and it's interesting because I think CVS is actually paying you.
I've heard that too.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, CVS.
Yeah. And I was just there. I should have got it. Gosh. But that's what a lot of the reports say, and you know, obviously you got to take who are they reporting from with a grain of salt, but it's, you know, they say that's the best option for trying to either avoid catching the flu or mitigating the symptoms of the flu if you do catch it.
Yeah, and especially I would, this is a huge debate, like the vaccine debate. We are going to publicly say that we are pro-vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
So we respect other people's points of view, but we've looked this up and have formed our opinions based off of a great deal of research and personal experience and having many conversations with health professionals. So we're not making this decision or statement blindly.
Right.
But with that said, vaccinations are really critical, especially for certain groups of people. And that is for those people whose immune systems are less than, you know, optimally conditioned. So not as strong, meaning like little babies and children who are still developing their immune systems. And also, you know, elderly or people with chronic illnesses that weaken their immune system. Even, I mean, we get the flu vaccine because we live with someone who is susceptible, you know, who falls into one of those categories. I actually got into this conversation with my mom recently because she was really adamantly against getting the flu vaccine this year.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, the one time I got it was the worst time I ever got sick with the flu. She's like, I won't get it again. I don't usually ever get it. And I was like, I understand. I get what you're saying. I've heard some people say the same thing. But on the flip side, I've also heard a lot of people say that they got the flu vaccine. And when they got the flu, it was a lot less serious than it could have been.
And that's it. And we talked about this last year because we talked around this time about flu and flu vaccines. And I remember hearing this stat a few weeks ago, and I just looked it up because I think it's pretty mind-boggling. It's something people don't think. People think about the flu, hey, I can get treated and there's not going to be any issues. But
right.
In 2017, an estimated 80,000 Americans died of influenza and its complications. Highest death toll from the flu in the last four decades.
That's, I mean, that shows, like, the flu's getting stronger. It's becoming more resistant. It's getting craftier, if you will.
Right.
And it's not always exactly the flu itself, but like they said, it's also the complications that result right. from the flu.
Yeah.
That it can trigger certain symptoms in your body that can get exacerbated to the point that they are life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
So take it however you want, but at the end of the day, trying to prevent the flu in any which way, especially if you spend a great deal of time with people who are either very young or that are maybe older or are chronically ill, getting vaccinated is probably just statistically a better way to ensure you're not going to get the flu or pass it on.
Right. And so we endorse that, but we understand there's going to be people that are not going to want to get the vaccine. Just like right. your mom, we yep. talked to Dr. Z. He's, you know, doesn't want to get the flu vaccine. Him and his family are big believers in the power of essential oils and the natural kind of God-given gifts we're given and try to preserve that, and more power to those people. But so
yeah.
if you fall maybe in that category, we got some a list of some nutrients that can help you avoid colds mm-hmm. and flus. And this was from an article from Mercola, and they kind of a general breakdown of the entire article, and obviously we'll put a link at addictedtofitnesspodcast.com in our show notes for this episode. Four nutrients known to offer powerful protection during cold and flu season are vitamins C and D, zinc, and beta-glucans. So we've kind of talked about vitamin C. Everybody, I think, knows about vitamin C as kind of being an immune booster. You know, fruits and vegetables, which is honestly, you guys should research more vegetables than fruits. Just don't think oranges. Yes, they're high in vitamin C, but actually mini bell peppers or mini, like, sweet peppers have more vitamin C than an orange does. So it's interesting, but I digress. But that's a good way to get it. Obviously, supplements. I'm a believer that you should try maybe liquid vitamin C, not stuff that's wrapped around sugar. Because I know, like, there's the emergency and stuff like that. And so those are ways to get vitamin C, but I think when it's kind of wrapped around sugar, which I think can be a little bit inflammatory, I don't know if that's the best option, because I know there are, like, sublingual vitamin C and vitamin D drops.
Well, and vitamin C, many vitamins, they need, like, a buddy in mm-hmm. order to be absorbed.
Yep.
So, like, you can take vitamin C, or you can take standalone vitamin, whatever, but you need to make sure that it's paired with the proper nutrients so that it actually gets absorbed by your body.
Right. Yep.
That's what you need to check for. So vitamin C, I think, is it magnesium? Or is that calcium?
I can't remember. But you're also right, too, because there's a difference between water-soluble and yeah. fat-soluble vitamins. Yeah.
So, I mean, some, like, it vitamins. Depends, like, the form you take it in, it depends, like, what you need with it.
Right. So, but obviously vitamin D, we've talked about that. Zinc, that's, you know, zinc tablets are one of those ones that they talk about is really good for taking if you feel like you're coming down with a cold. So, that's, I know, obviously, that's why they listed it in this article. Some research about vitamin C is that during a common cold, to reduce the duration of symptoms, try taking 3 to 4 grams of liposomal vitamin C every hour until you feel better. And when we talked about vitamin D, low vitamin D increases your risk of contracting a cold or flu. And we've talked about how a lot of time nowadays, I know when I did my physical, I got diagnosis of low vitamin D, usually you produce vitamin D by, you know, going into the sun.
Yes.
A lot of people, I feel like I was just listening to a podcast today about maybe are more afraid of the sun, putting on layers, slathering on sunscreen. Yeah, or yeah. Are just have inside jobs. So, you know, if you can't get the vitamin D through the sun, you can take it in a supplemental form. That's also another one. You got just researching good supplements that allow you to absorb it the most. That's key, like what they talked about with the liposomal vitamin C. The third nutrient deficiency associated with increased risk of cold and flu is zinc. Zinc may also reduce the duration and severity of your cold if taking the first signs of infection. That's what I was saying with the zinc tablets that I know. You can probably buy them at CVS or any ones where, I don't know how much those are effective, the over-the-counter variations.
Is that zinc?
What I mean? Yeah.
I think they're fairly good, but I mean, yeah, there's more potent forms, I think, of it in certain ways. I mean, usually what you buy over the counter, like at the drugstore,
right,
like chewable ones and stuff, it's got a lot of fillers.
Yeah.
So getting a good quality one could be important.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, now the last one that we mentioned is the beta-glucans, which is something a little bit I was unfamiliar with. And they say that beta-glucans are found in mushrooms, they enhance the natural killer cell activity and function. And research shows that if you have enough natural killer cells in your system, you will not contract influenza. How about that? NK cells stands for natural killer cells.
I know. Isn't that crazy that these are things that exist in our body?
Like, yeah.
This is how our bodies are incredible, incredible things.
So, I mean, they're basically a variation of a white blood cell type, or type of white blood cell that, which you guys know, if you're familiar with your white blood cells, that they're usually in charge with kind of getting rid of infections. So, if you guys are not planning on getting the flu vaccine and you want some tips on how to stay healthy during the cold and flu season, these are four supplements that you guys can probably start adding to your daily regimen to help keep up your immunity. And there's several other ones we've talked about, you know, probiotic foods, probiotics themselves, also probably being a little bit more cautious, not saying dip yourself in Purell, because that might actually have the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Effect. But, you know, maybe me a little bit more cautious about being around people that are sick, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, it comes down to a lot more like being cognizant of, I think viruses are usually spread through like fluids. So it's, you know, sneezing on a doorknob, things like that. And, you know, making sure that you're washing your hands frequently. I mean, I know that goes back to something like I think all parents teach.
Yeah.
It's like one of the first things, like, wash your hands.
Right.
It's for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, it's for a really good reason. Because isn't it like viruses can't live very long once they're exposed to oxygen, like the air?
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, I know just like soap and water can kill most viruses like that, you know?
When they're just on surfaces.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so the crazy antibacterial soap and stuff is not really necessary, because that can remove some of the beneficial bacteria you have on your skin.
Right.
So maybe just hot soap and water, you know, that could be what you need to really kind of help prevent infection. And a couple things, I know I put it on my story, garlic, raw garlic, big one for help preventing infections. I know it would suck to, and it does suck, I'll tell you, to eat cloves of raw garlic, but it is beneficial.
It smells really, we use it as as something that we're trying for Ella's ears now too,
yeah.
the garlic oil, and dear gosh, it smells,
yeah.
But if it works, I'm down for it.
Right. And then something you just bought, I see in
yes,
the fridge.
And that I've been taking, actually, for a while.
Elderberry syrup.
Elderberry.
I might have to start adding that into my life, too.
Yeah, it's I've been taking elderberry supplements for like the last 6 months, and I swear that it has made a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, I also take Chinese herbs, which I could tell you what they are right now, and you're just going to laugh at me and be like, I don't think I can find those.
Yeah.
So, yes, I take other things, but I swear the elderberry was a game changer.
Yeah.
Because I didn't take it for like 2 months. They didn't have it, and I got sick like twice.
Yeah.
It's, I find it incredible, and I just bought, a bottle that's now going to be in our fridge and live there constantly. And it's safe for babies, like for kids. Ella is going to be taking elderberry syrup.
All right. So it's time to load up on that.
It's got antimicrobial properties and lots of vitamins. Boom. So
that's what we need for this flu, cold and flu season.
Yeah.
And if you guys have any other tips or maybe suggestions on supplements or foods or practices that can help avoid the cold and flu, share it with us. You guys can go to addictedtofitnesspodcast.com, find out all our contact information, and drop us a line and give us your suggestions on how to stay healthy during this time of year.
Well, and there's one other topic we've quickly wanted to touch on because it's been in the news recently, and that is the pill, the flu pill. You heard about this?
No.
So,
well, I know like there's not Theraflu. There was I remember I did get a, when I got the flu really bad several years ago, I got a flu.
I got a flu for you.
I got a pill. I can't remember what it was. Tamiflu, maybe? Something like, anyways, go.
Yeah, no, this is specifically, it's along the same lines. Like, they're basically, this is, it just got approved. It's a drug that actually just finally got approved, and it made big headlines because it was basically, they're saying, well, this could be the alternative if you don't like going and getting a shot and you don't like to get a vaccination. And this now FDA approved drug, I guess, is the first new flu drug in 20 years. And it's, in short, like, it, we'll link to an article about like the details of what it does, but I like the summary that we read somewhere that just said, like, basically it attacks viruses, influenza, in a new fun way. And it's something, in terms of science, it is actually really exciting and interesting, but it's not like you can just go to your, you know, local store and pick this stuff up. And it's still relatively new. It's not anything in like the immediate future that is going to replace the vaccination. And they're still saying that you should go and get your flu shot right now. That this is absolutely not going to be a replacement in the near future. So just wanted to touch on this because we did a little bit of research to find out, you know, we found some good sources, good details on exactly what this is. And if you hear people saying, oh, I'm just going to take that pill, I'm not going to get the vaccine, they probably haven't really researched it that much. So before you ever take any kind of drug, please do a crap load of research and talk to every health professional you possibly can, because you'll usually learn some very important things.
I agree. So, in a nutshell, let's break it down. Get your flu shot. That's what we say. And if you're not going to get your flu shot, make sure you are loading up on all those kind
of anti-. Even if you are getting a flu shot.
And in addition, but if you don't, load up on those nutrients and antimicrobial foods that we listed, because we want everybody healthy and we want to bring that freaking scary number down from how many people were killed by the flu and complications of the flu last year.
Yeah, and I think I saw a Facebook post by a nurse that was saying, like, all the reasons, like, yeah, you can not get vaccinated, but, like, then you shouldn't. Crap. I really should have pulled this out earlier because it was a really good argument. But it was an argument by a nurse.
Yeah.
That was basically saying if your whole argument for not getting a flu vaccine is because it's just the drug companies trying to make a buck. Think about all of the costs and money they make off of the sick people that don't get the flu shot.
Right.
How much more money they make from that. And it makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And yeah. she was much very, more. Very interesting, different side
of the argument. No, I agree. And we've already expressed our feelings. So we're not here to convert anybody. We just want to give you guys the facts and to make sure you're as safe as possible out there during cold and flu season.
You know what? The dog is looking at me right now because we obviously record in a very professional studio. There's dogs.
Yes.
And she's now looking at me like, what about me? That's really good. Do dogs get flus?
I don't know.
Does anybody know that? If anybody knows, like, do dogs and pets get flus?
There is, like, kennel colds and stuff like
that. Yeah, like kennel cough, I've heard.
Yeah. All right, we're going off tangents now.
Sorry.
All right, we're going to wrap this one up.
She just looked at me like, what about me?
Yeah, you eat plenty of good food, so don't worry about it. All right, so I think that's all we got for them. Once again, give those ratings and reviews in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or your preferred podcast app, and then drop us a line by going to Addicted to Fitness Podcast and find out about our social channels, or even shoot us an email. We'll respond that way.
Yeah, or tweet us.
Mm-hmm. What's your Twitter handle? At the ATFpodcast.com. Nope, not .com. At the ATF Podcast.
At the ATF Podcast.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else for him this week?
No.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast. We'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, at the ATF Podcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.